Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Pei Zayin. We're holding two lines from the bottom of the Omid, where the Gemara begins, Toshima, HaSoicher Es HaPoyim. Now, in the middle of a sugya, and the sugya began just after halfway down the Omid on Pei Vav Omid Beis. Well, we had Rabbi Shmuel Yami Tavayu, Kor Bishloishim Ani Moichalach, Yochalach Serboi, Afilu Besoach, right now? Kor Bishloishim So, Kor Bishloishim, Kama. So, Besalani Moichalach, Rishon Rishon Kon. Rabbi Shmuel said, when you have a Mocher and a Lokeach, who are about to go and engage in a sales transaction, it really depends on how it is structured or how it is verbalized. If a person says, Mocher says to the Lokeach, Kor Bishloishim, I'm going to sell you a Kor. Kor, as everybody knows, is a very large quantity. It's 30 sa'a. I'm going to sell it to you for shloishim, for 30 shkolim. Okay. Yochalach sabay afilu b'sa'ach reina. They start counting out. One sa'a, two sa'a, three sa'a, four sa'a. All the way up to 29, they can still change their minds. Because it was a package deal of 30 for 30. 30 sa'a for 30 shkolim. Until we get to number 30, we're still in the middle of counting, they can change their mind. However, if the deal was Kor Bishloishim, Sa'a B'Selani Moichalach, the whole package would be 30. But we're charging one Sela per Sa'a, one Shekel per Sa'a, then the Halach is Rishon Rishon Kan. As he keeps on counting out, another Sa'a, another Sa'a, another Sa'a, it's like, if you remember, Barry characterized this yesterday as 30 separate mini transactions of one sa'a for one sela, shekel. So therefore, as he keeps on counting out, 2, 3, 4, 5, guess what? Each one of those is kana. So if somebody decides in the middle, I change my mind, those that have already been counted out, those have already been sold. That was the halach of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara already asked the kasha yesterday, and the Gemara answered the kasha. Now the Gemara adds another kasha. Toshima, two lines from the bottom. Here we're not talking about sales, here we're talking about hiring a worker. Rishbam says it's talking about in the middle of Chodesh Nisan, right before Pesach. A person knows that he's going to need an employee in the Shas HaGoyren. Shas HaGoyren means in the harvest time. Let's assume, for example, that Shavuos time. He wants to make sure to get his workers, and he's not going to have a problem as he gets closer to Shavuos. So what does he do? He says to him, let's make up a price right now, and to guarantee that you're going to show up for the job, I'm going to pay you now in advance. And how much did they make up? Every day for one dinner. Dinner is a quarter of a sela or a shekel. Okay. And I expect that you're going to work for me for 30 days. Not now. You're going to work for me starting Shavuos time. But I'm already hiring you now. Here's the 30 shkolim right now for the 30 days that you're going to work during that harvest season. If you take a look at the last two lines of the Rishbam, he hires a worker. He pays him up front. How much does he pay him? Hayoim b'dinner. Kolaymer. Kol yoim shol yemois ha'goyren b'dinner. Every day that he's going to work, not now, but Shavuos time, I'm going to pay him already a dinner. V'nosanli achshav lamed dinner l'lamed yemei ha'goyren. He figures that they're going to be 30 days where they're busy with the harvest, with the grain, with the winnowing and the threshing and whatever one does with grain. It's going to take 30 days. I'm paying you in advance now, 30 dinner, done. Okay. Now the Gemara tells us, top of the Omid Aleph, La Goyren Yofasela. In truth, when the Goyren occurs, workers will be able to receive at that time not a dinner per day, but a sela per day, which means four times as much. Wow. Therefore, this employer has done a very good job with this employee that he's hiring him now for the full 30 days, and he pays him up front, and he's getting a bargain rate, a quarter of what the wages will be at that time. The employer has done an isur, he's not allowed of hano'ah from this arrangement. What is the problem? We're going to see in the Gemara shortly, it's a case of mechse karibis, or the Gemara refers to it as agar nota. What does that mean? He knows that in Yetzir Shem when it's going to be. Shavuos time, he's going to have to go and pay 30 shkolim, 30 sloim for this worker. And he says, that's a lot of money. You know what, I have a good idea. I'm going to pay him up front now. He's going to give me this major discount. So it's as if I'm giving him a loan now. He's not entitled to a penny, because after all, he is he's not going to work for me for another 6-7 weeks.
And
so, and so therefore, bottom line, since I'm not going to have to go and pay him until then, why am I paying him in advance? To go and get a break on the price for later on. So it's as if I'm giving him a loan now for, excuse me, for the 30 dinner, and it's as if I'm telling him, if and when you're going to provide services which are worth 30 saloim, then you don't have to pay me back for my loan. Wow, a 30 dinner loan, and he's getting paid back the equivalent of 30 saloim, that's a huge amount of interest. That's why Ashul Hanukkah.
And if it's reversed, suddenly the labor market's flooded by illegal immigration and there's a surplus and the price collapses?
And you have to call Trump to throw all those guys out as soon as possible.
So this is, would it still be us or Mishim Agunat? In that case, he overpaid. He locked in overpriced labor.
Mm-hmm. And the only time it's going to be a problem is if it's going to be a ribbis factor. Avol im socher mihayoyim. The dinner liyoyim. Stop. What happens if instead of saying, I'm paying you now in advance, and you're only going to start working for me Shavuos time, he says, I'm already hiring you now, and I'm paying you in advance, but I want you to start working for me now. He's not going to do granary or harvest work. He's presumably going to do clean up in the fields, or maybe he's going to work for him at home, he's going to go and paint his house, or whatever he's going to do. So he's hiring already from today, and he's paying him already for today. And the Rishbam says, since we're talking about from Pesach until Shavuos or thereafter, he made up for 100 days. And he pays him in advance now 100 dinarim and keep on working from today until the May HaHarvest, the May HaGodin are over. In such a case, says our Gemara, that is not considered to be Agar Notar, because he's already starting to work from today. And this is just like a person providing services. If you look at the Rishbam in the fourth line, Avim Socher Mihayoyim, Meya Yoyim, the Meya dinner, instead of 30 days, 100 days. And also Schari Akshav, and he paid him up front. So in that respect, they're both the same. Ula Goyrin Hoyochel Lihistakir HaPoil Besela, like we said before, Dainu Dalid Rinrim Yoyim. At that time, he would be able to get a much more enhanced wage instead of one dinner a day. One selade. Since he started working today, mutter. Why? It's like yom arichta, like we have in Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days of yom arichta. It's as if the 100 days began today, and it's one long continuing one day. It's as if you have one day with 2,400 hours. A langa langa talk. This is not an agar nota. I'm paying you up front and then I'm moichel you at the maturity date. You started immediately. It's as if the granary and the harvest started today and I'm paying you today. Okay. Bottom line is, that is the case of the price. So now what is the cash? Again, start the top of the omid. Well, the first line, not the bottom, in the top. If he's hiring to start working today, bedinner leyoyim, and he's starting taka for a dinner, and he's working today and tomorrow for the next 100 days. Ula goyin yafesela, and when the goyin happens, in fact, he could have demanded at that time much higher wages if he would start his employment at that time, because the going wage is a seller, not a dinner. Then it's a mutter. Freit etzimah, nisol kataita, kol bishloishim, so'a besalani moichaloch, rishoin kana, getting back to Rav and Shmuel's halacha, that if you go and make up, I'm selling you a kol bishloishim of tzvua, or payrus, whatever. So besala. Ah, by saying so besala, we said it's not one long transaction of 30 saw. Said Barry, it's 30 transactions, one saw each. Rishon, Rishon, cut. So as soon as you count it out, two saw, three saw, those are done. They're sold. You can't change your mind. You can change your mind on the future, but not on these two or three that have already been counted out. So he was like, "For Dimor Hachanami, why don't you go and say, Kama, Kama, Nifsik, Pasak? Why don't you say that since he said over here, I'm giving you 100 dinner in advance, but I want you to know, it's dinner liyoy. I'm paying you a dinner per day. Oh, so it's like saying, So'a Besela. That being the case, just like we're saying that that's in Rav, in Shmuel's halacha, it's 30 transactions. Why do you say over here by the hiring of this employee, why did Reshbam say you merge all the 100 days like Yoim Echad Oruch Damya? Why don't you say over here too also, Kama Kama Mifsik? Since he said, I'm paying you the 100 dinner, and it's dinner Liyoim. So each day is like a separate sale. It's like a separate hiring of the employee. Today I'm hiring you for one dinner. Tomorrow for one dinner. The next day for one dinner. And I'm paying you in advance. Not only for today, but I'm paying you in advance for 100 days from now. So if you would deem every one of these days that he works for him as a separate transaction, so why isn't it aganotar, not on what he's paying him now, but what's going to be in 70 days from now when the Mehagorim are going to begin? We're going to have 30 days. He's paying him bobkis. He's giving him one dinner when really at that time it's going to be worth a sela. See, without Rav and Shmuel, it's not a problem. It's one large package deal. And that package deal is, if you're going to work for me for the next 100 days, I give you 100 dinrim up front. However, if you're going to go and say like Rav and Shmuel said, that when you use the term dinner liyoyim, that you therefore cut it and slice it and splice it into separate transactions, so it's as if you're working for me 100 different times, as if I'm doing 100 employment contracts. And since I'm paying you up front, that's why I'm getting the benefit of the cheap labor in 70 days from now. Nu oy bazoy, why isn't it an aganata? It should be the osir lehamis mim heimenu. It should be osir to go and have a no, just like we said in the reisha, that if he hired him, and it's only starting in Shavuot's time, that I paid him up front, it's osir lehamis because it's a form of ribis. So why isn't this also a form of ribis?
Did the seller of the grain pay get his money up front, or was the money changed hands at the conclusion, depending on how many...
As he paid him out, as he kept on counting, the register, the cash register, keeps on adding another.
Well,
so
he didn't
store.
Pay him mm-hmm. up front. Here in the case of the OL, he's paying him the entire amount up front. Mm-hmm. It's not on all fours with the sales transaction.
In other words, you're saying that there's a difference between this case and that case.
And
that, in that case, there was no payment up front. Here,
correct.
It is a payment up front.
Correct.
The only reason why we're throwing the payment to the front is that we should have an aganota factor over here. The aganota that he has a potential iser of ribis. That's why in the reish it says, you're not allowed to do it also, Herzimenu. Safe, it says, it's okay, it's mutter. Now the question is, why should it be mutter in the safer? If every single time you specify 100 days, dinner liyoin, dinner for, per day, so that's the same case like kor bishloishim, so besela, it's 100 days for 100 dinrim, dinner liyoyim, so don't look upon it as one big deal, look at it as separate 100 deals. And if it's 100 deals, then I'm paying you now in advance for what's going to happen in 70 days. Why don't I have a ribbis problem? Right tomorrow, you should say also lehonis imenu, even in the case of the sefer with dinner liyoyim, ulaget gairin, yofa sela. Why does it say in the brayso, mutter amai vagar notarli? He is paying him in advance. Aganotali who? He's paying him in advance, and he's saying, I'm giving you a discount on the wages in 70 days from now because I am giving you the money up front. Amarava, Rava says, Betizbra, let me ask you a question. Zilzuli v'schiris mi'asir, the whole din that we spoke about above Matzia, and Ezeo Neshech, legabi hilchis ribis, is legabi schoira, legabi merchandise. Merchandise has a fixed price of lamashal 6, and I overcharged you and for 7. Okay, that's a hilchis aynot. Sorry, forget about aynot. The hilchis aganotar is pshat I am giving you something in advance, and then
Sa'abisa,
fine, very good. I'm giving you something in advance, a cheaper price, because you're paying upfront. So you're only getting the goods in a month from now, and the reason why I'm giving you the cheaper price is because you're paying upfront, and that's a hidden form of interest. But we never had that with Gabi Tzchiris, when you got to be hiring somebody. Hiring someone, there is no inyan of ribbis. Why not, says Rishbam? Because a person who's desperate for work will take whatever he can get, even though the market rate might be $10 an hour for an illiterate, uneducated worker. If he can't find $10 an hour, but somebody offers him $5, he'll take the $5. After all, I have to go and support myself, my family, I have to pay the rent, I have to buy food.
Also, you're giving him a lifeline for 70 days till you get to that. If he doesn't have that 100-day deal, he's not going to survive. He'll starve to death by the time of the
government. Yeah, God forbid, that could happen. So therefore, says Gemara, there is no inyan really of ribbis when it comes to schir. The fact that he's getting a cheap wage for his services, that's what they negotiated, and the guy is desperate, and he'll take whatever he can get. Does it schir me asr? So therefore, that's why in the Sefer, it's mut. So why should it be Asr in the Reisha? Anthony Mara, Reisha Dleikovid Bahadei Mehashta. Since he's not working with him today, he's only going to start working with him 70 days from now, Mechse Ki Aga Notari. It looks like ribbis. Sefer Dleikovid Bahadei Mehashta, since he's starting to work immediately, what's for ribbis? You know, we keep on working and working, and I keep on chipping away at that 100 that he paid me. So says Rishbam, min ha-toyra, there is no problem whatsoever, because there is no problem by schiris. Whatever you're willing to go and be hired for, that's your wage. Whether you're getting paid $2 an hour, $5, $20 an hour, whatever you're willing to take. The fact that he only pays you the smaller amount, that's because that's what you agreed to. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no ribbis. The only problem is a midrabanan mechsek ribbis. It looks right, ribbis. In the reisha, when you're not providing any services for the next 70 days, you get the money up front, and then you start working then, and then you're working el cheapo, it smells a little bit like, you know, why did I go and agree to such a cheap wage 70 days ago? It's because I got the money up front, and now I'm paying it down through my wages. It looks, na minatoira, midrabanan, it looks like, it smells like ribbis. However, if he starts working already today, that's the contract that they entered into, an employment contract, and I'm starting to work now, every single day, 100 days, nothing wrong with that. It doesn't look at all like a aga notali, and therefore there's no issue.
Is this based on the fact that the wage changes over time? As you get to the harvest, mm-hmm. the wages will go up to a seller.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole reason why in the ratio, it's awesome.
But let's say the first, you pay in advance 100 days. The first 70 days, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. The cash is only
in the last. He may be overpaying him for the 70 days in order just to hold on to him to make sure he shows up. Mm-hmm. He may be worth a puta. You know, he may have no work for him those 70 days. The guy sits and looks at his iPhone all day, and then you know, until the going comes in, there's no work for him to do. That's you pay him anyway to have him on retainer.
That's what people do. They look at the iPhone all day.
I know. Never heard from him.
Never. People walking down the street, it's red light, cars want to go. Okay, anyway, it is what it is. So, we answered the kasha, and therefore we defeated all the challenges to Rav and Shmuel. Now we go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, if you want to take a quick look, we had back on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, we had interesting cases. The first case is a Moicha Pesach Chaveri Moshach V'lai Modad. And then the second case we had, so you remember we discussed yesterday that this is talking about Shlifi Rabavi and Shlifi Zutri, and this was with the Mashiach, and this was Hagbah, it was slippery. Yeah, the whole Geschäft. That was when he was buying Peiros, which were Tolushin, or Pishtan, which was Tolush. But then the Mishnah throws out at the end, what happens if the Pishtan was still attached to the ground, and he's buying it now, I want these 20 stalks of pishtan which are attached to the ground. You know what he does? The tolish kosher. He goes and uproots one of them. The Gemara Rishbam says that's a meshicha. He's pulling it to himself. Kana, all 20 stalks. And the obvious question is, just because you are moshech one, let's assume that you didn't have that they were not mechuber, they were tolish. And you have 20 stalks, 20 bushels here on the table, and he goes and takes Mashiach on one of them. Would he be kind of the rest of them? No. By Karka, we had that son of the Arachad, who you make a makush echad, you go and do a shtickle, a digging over here, you could be kind of all over the world. But over there, we didn't ever say that by Metaltlin. By Metaltlin, if you bundle it together and you put it into a bag and you schlep the whole thing, of course. But if you only take one, how am I kind of the other 19? So Ibazoi, just because one stalk in Mechubal Karka and I yank it out, how am I kind of the entire kit and kaboodle? That's the worst guy. How can it be kind of the rest? What does that mean? The Moicher says to the Lekech, I want you to be miyapa hakarka. Miyapa means make it pretty. How are you going to make it pretty? This year I planted bishtan. Next year I intend the Mir Tashem going and planting grain or potatoes or tomatoes. And to be able to do that, I'm going to have to do a harisha, a plowing of the karka, before I do the planting. I can only do a proper harisha, plowing, if the ground is empty. So you know what you should do? Please, go and uproot this particular bushel, this particular stalk of the pishtun of the flax. That 2x2 is now going to be empty, and therefore you have helped me for the next season when I'm going to have to do my harisha. This is part is already empty.
Is it kinyan agav?
We're going to talk about that in a moment. So therefore, by doing that cleaning of the property, you have now done a chazaka in the property. Of course, for chazaka, you don't need to do something mammoth. No agada uparetz kosher, who is sufficient. And Rishbam reminds us that we had about 10 days ago in the Gemara, that what happened if a person was collecting the wood on the ground to make it nice and pretty, so that he should be able to go and do a proper harisha, that is also a form of chazaka. Remember the Gemara said, it depends, why is he collecting the wood? Is he collecting to make the ground now more, to clear it out, to be able to go and do a plowing? Or did he do it because he wants to use it for firewood, and that's why he's collecting the wood? And the Gemara said, well, my nafkimina is, if he takes away all of the wood, he's showing he wants to improve the karka and clear it out. If he takes only for firewood, he's only going to take the large branches, he's going to leave the twigs behind. I'm going to leave the twigs behind, that's not going to help, and I'm going to have to do my harisha, because they're going to adversely affect my plowing. So how does it work now? So it says, argument the way, machloikis rahibam, and toises how to learn pshat in the Gemara. According to the Rishbam, by being miyapa the karka and clearing it out and pulling out one of them, he has now done a form of kinyan in the karka. If the idea was to buy the whole karka and he would pay for the whole karka, then he'd get the whole karka. But the idea was only to get a certain percentage of the karka. What percentage? The 20 stalks of pishtun which are growing from the karka, which as long as they are mechuba the karka, they are karka. Their nickness not only in the karka, the nickness because they are karka themselves, because they are mechuba the karka. So he's telling him, by doing this small little yipoy of 2x2, you're going to be coining now the 20 stalks, which are covering an area of whatever. So therefore, you fail a karka kosher. Just make out this a little. And now, kniko mashal, you'll be koina as if you've been koina the whole lot, the whole 20 by 20 lot of karka. But I'm not selling you. I'm just selling you these 20 stalks, and that's what they agreed to. And that will be the kinyan. So it will be a kinyan of chazaka in karka. That's how Rishbam learns. Toises learns, no. That what's going to happen is, he's makna to him the chotzer temporarily. He's saying to him, we know there's a kinyan chotzer, that I own a chotzer, or you own a chotzer. Then anything which is in the chotzer, I can be koina as kinyan chotzer. Husband and wife. He throws the get into her chotzer, she is now divorced. If she doesn't own a chotzer, I will lend you my chotzer for 5 seconds, now belongs to the wife. He throws in the get, she gets the get. Now it's in kinyan agav, but because she owns the chotzer. Here too, he said, go and own the chotzer temporarily. Well, what kinyan do I make to get the chotzer? Just say, tell me, you know, oisis porches ba'avir, I give you the chotzer, you got to do something. Oh, make a no'al goda paretz koshu, go and pull out that one stalk and you're going to be miyap of the karka. So you've done a shtikla avoid in the karka, now it's yours, now you'll be koina anything in the karka. not a get, he's not a husband and wife. You'll be koina the 20 stalks which are in the carcass. You look at the top choices. Kiloimer, hachzik bekarka al yidei yipoy, to have a ke'en, no al goda baritz koshu. Now it'll be tehei she'ulach. Now this will be liyos kechatzercha, it'll be temporarily your chatzer for the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Therefore, it'll be like any time that you're koine something in your chatzer, instead of being koine again in your chatzer, it'll be koine the 20 bushels of bishton which are growing in that chatzer. So that's how Toises learns, Yen Rishbam learns, it's simply a case of he's being koine karka, and the stalks of wheat, which are not wheat, of flax, those are the karka he's being koine as a result of being the yap of the karka. On to the next mission. Zut Mishnah. Person is in the middle of selling wine or shemen and he's pouring it out from kli to kli. In the good old days, you didn't go and buy a bottle of Kedem wine or Manischewitz wine or whatever, but rather you would often bring your own kelim. We'll see whose kli it is in a moment. But the Moicher, for instance, had a large, large chavius, a large barrel, and he would pour off from it into somebody else's kli, and then that person holds the kli. As soon as it fills up to the top, now he's koina, that's choy. So what happens whilst he's pouring? A sudden bulletin comes in, prices of wine have gone double or triple, or they've gone down 50%. So can either of them change their minds midstream?
Literally.
Midstream, literally. If the midah has not been filled up yet, we're only at the 25% line or the 50% line, we're not filled up yet, then lemoicha means then the transaction has not been consummated, and both of them can go and change their minds because we're still in the middle. However, mishnah is malas midah, now it's totally full to the brim, you can't add anything more, then it belongs to the lekeach, and therefore the deal is done. And we're assuming once again, like we said in the previous mission, the previous Gemaras, that there was already a pisuk damim, that he already agreed to the price, so there's not going to be a new handling and negotiation post-filling up the midah. So now it belongs to the lekeach, the deal is done, and if the prices go up or go down, the lekeach will either get the benefit or the burden of the fluctuation of price.
They both agreed that if the lekeach, then it's covered.
We don't know whether it's a keli shel lekeach or keli shel moicher or someone else. That we're going to address in the Yitzchim
Gemara. That'd be easier that we have the more than the
Gemara. Very good. He's up there. He's good. That's what you see if you start the Gemara. Midah the man, who does the kli belong to? So you see, the Gemara is going to address your question. That's the first part of the mission. Now the next part of the mission in Hoyas Sarsur Benel. A Sarsur is a middleman. Now there are two ways of having middlemen. You can have a broker, a real estate broker, or in this case a wine broker, where he makes up the person wants to sell and this person wants to buy, and the middleman gets the two parties together. Or a sarsur could also be a flipper, that he buys it initially and then he sells it for an additional 5%, and that's how he gets his compensation. But bottom line, it works out the same, that he's getting a 5% increment between the sale and what he buys it for, what he sells it for. But there's a different structure whether you're a broker or whether you are a flipper. What's the difference? A broker never takes title to the goods, while the flipper does take title to the goods.
Even a broker takes it for a brief section, like on the New York Stock Exchange, the specialists carry a book. They own, even though they're just making the market.
That's the New York Stock Exchange. Normally,
what about real estate?
Real estate broker doesn't take possession. No. He has to say it's a service.
Okay. Right, exactly. So that's...
What's Sarsir come from? That sounds like Sarsir's.
So anyway, this Sars is a middleman. Yeah, Mishadel, exactly. Some sort of brokerage service. The Moya Sars of Benay, and this person in fact is flipping, and therefore he's having the mocher pour the wine into his own kli, and then after that he's going to hand over the goods to the lekeach. Nishbra chovius, if the chovius breaks at any time before the kli is full to the brim, nishbal sarsur, then the not sarsur is the one that lost out, because after all, if he's taka flipping it, see, he's not just lending them the kli and you work it out moicher and lekeach. I'm taking I'm taking
ownership,
ownership and title and possession.
Risk.
Exactly. So he has that risk, the Arachrayis, on the meter. Next case. B'chayim l'hatav lo yisholish tipen. What happens if a moicher and a lekef, they both agree, I'm selling you a gallon of wine. And the moicher is pouring out the gallon of wine into the kli, the moshel of the lekech, and he's pouring out the whole gallon. And as you know, when you get towards the end of the bottle, very often there are a couple of drops that are left behind, which don't automatically pour out. I have this almost every, wouldn't say every Shabbos, but every couple of Shabbosim. When we're finished the wine, I've poured it into the kos, I think I'm done. I put down the bottle on the table, and then my wife shortly thereafter shows me that there's still a couple of drops left. She takes the wine bottle and pours the mushroom to her own glass, and they take a couple of more drops. So as much as you think that you shake and you push and always a couple of drops left. So says our Mishnah that after the mocher has filled up the lekech's midah, he has to still wait there lahat of light to give him the extra three drops which belong to lekech and not to the mocher. What happens if Hirchina, he's holding now the bottle at an angle to allow it to pour over, umitzes, and there's still, even after the three tippin, there's still a drop left in the bottom of the barrel, in the nooks and crannies of the bottle. By that time, that already you can go and take for yourself. So as long as you let it drip three more drops at the end, anything beyond that belongs to the moicher. We'll see why in the Gemara. But that's only if you're talking about a private moicher. A person who's a storekeeper, he doesn't have to pour out those additional three drops. And this far is simple, because the Chendani has 100 customers online. He's going to wait every single time another three drops. He's going to, that time is money. He doesn't have time, and the customers don't have time. There's a lot of pressure. So he can keep the three deep, and he doesn't have to pour those out. But if you don't, Erev Shabbos M'chashecha Bater, if it's Erev Shabbos, and it's almost Lechtin, Mendy called out this morning, 6:37, and it's now 6:20, and the people still online, for three tippin, come on, schnell, we gotta go still, we gotta get ready for Shabbos. Then you're potter for worrying about the three tippin.
So,
what is it? Wait a second. Yamor is gonna ask, is Rabbi Huda talking to the Moicher or talking to the Chenvini case? Let's wait to the Gemara in the Amid Beis, and we'll see clearly what Rabbi Huda is saying. Gets back to the. What was the question?
The
Mishnah, the Mishnah. Mitzis. Means that he kept the bottle at an angle in a pouring position, and mitzis, and nevertheless there's still a couple of drops left even after the three tippin have been poured out.
It's on tonsils.
So now he's already done his shtablis.
He already did his shtablis, he poured the whole thing out, he kept it, another three drops came out. If you wait for another hour, maybe there'll still be another drop or two. You don't have to, that you can keep for yourself. Mitzis. And mitzis means that the shirai, whatever's left in English, the residue, whatever.
It's what, from Don Thompson's.
I don't know, it comes from the same word, konzai.
It sounds like it.
Well, you know the word mitz, of course, everybody
juice,
knows.
Juice.
The juice. Maybe mitzis means a little bit of juice, a little bit. Not a lefel, a lefela, not a kaf, a kapit.
Right.
Maybe not mitz, mitzit.
A tablespoon.
It's yeah. Those are to sock, right?
Mitzvah, okay, I guess so. But mitzvah, they don't think of mitzvah as mitzvahpuchim and mitzvahpuchim. They don't think about sucking, they think about juice. Okay, Zulzanazan. Getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah. So we said that a person in the middle of pouring, and it goes up or down in price, look whether the meat is full or not. If it's not full, you can change your mind. Once it's full, it's all lekech, you can't change your mind. Freitimar, Hamidah Deman, who is the owner of this meat, of this container? It belongs to the lekech. Actually, this malas midah. It says in the Mishnah, it's lemoicher. What do you mean lemoicher? Midah lekechi. It's not lemoicher. It's his midah. Don't tell me that the contents belong to the moicher. It's lekech's midah. Elamai velamidah the moicher. The midah belongs to the moicher. Mishnah is malas midah. You say it's automatically lekech. It's midah the moicher. In other words, you have to negotiate. At what point does it transfer from the Moicher to Lekeach, as long as it's in the midah of one of them, Lechoyre, if it's the midah of the Moicher, it's still his, until he transfers it to the Lekeach. Just because it's filled to the brim, that doesn't mean that it's sold, it's in his midah. And if you're going to tell me that midstream, literally, that it's only halfway full, you're saying that then it belongs to the Moicher, if it's midah Lekeach, why would you say it belongs to the Moicher? It's coming and accruing in the midah of a calf. And therefore says Hima Amr Bilal the midah sarsur, that this was a borrowed kli. It was not the midah of the moicher, not the midah of the lekeya. They borrowed it from someone else. And if you remember a couple of days ago when we were learning the arba midos, the first midah was, it was midah she'enah shel shneh. It didn't belong to either one of them. Rather, what happened?
A neighbor, a third party.
A third party, a neighbor. The original midah that was used by the moicher lekeach apparently broke, and it was in the fixer shop, in the repair shop. So they asked the neighbor, can you lend us a midah for the next day or two? Sure, I'll be delighted. And he lent them the midah. Since he knew that they're using it for transactions, we are now going to impute in his mind and in this loan of the midah that as long as you're still measuring and measuring and measuring, it belongs to the moicher, because that's why the moicher borrowed this midah. As soon as it fills to the tav, it's going to automatically transfer to the lekeach, because that's why the lekeach borrowed the midah. So this happens, if you will, automatically, whilst you're still pouring, it's the moicher's midah. In other words, that's as if he was the one that borrowed it. As it fills to the top, now it becomes the lekeach, because that's why the lekeach borrowed it together with it. So that's why the Mishnah makes that distinction between lefnei shinis malis and mishnis malis.
It's kind of like hefker, bezden, hefker. The bezden basically assigns the ownership of it, as it were.
I don't know that it's hefker, bezden, hefker. Hefker, bezden, hefker has a much broader connotation. That something that belongs to me or to you, the bezden can go and confiscate it and give it to a third party, based on their own whims, and of course what they feel the halacha is, they can go and remove property and give one to the other. Here we're talking about two people that borrowed a car. Let's talk about borrowing a car. And why the two borrowing a car? One needs to go to a bar mitzvah in the morning, one needs to go to the chasana at night. So they're borrowing the car together, but he, the lender, owner of the lender of the car, knows that that's why they're using it. One's going to use it for the bar mitzvah, one's going to use it for the chasana. Here, the two parties are borrowing this midah, and he knows because they want to go and sell and buy a gallon of wine. So he realizes that as long as it's pouring, it's the moicher that's the one that's the real borrower. Once it's full to the top, the moicher says, I don't need the kli anymore. Now it's yours. Lekeach, take the contents, pour it into your own cups and your own bottles, and give the midah back to the original owner. You're telling me that the rage is talking about a sarsur. The word sarsur doesn't appear anywhere in the Mishnah until you get to line 4. Vim hoyez ba'amiritani sefer vim hoyez sarsur me'nayam nishbra chobiyez nishbra le'sarsur. Then it's the sarsur's achrais and not the moichel lekeach's achrais. In the ratio it was the moichel lekeach's achrais because they were the one that borrowed it. But if he himself participates, sarsur me'nayam nishbra chobiyez nishbra le'sarsur. Frank Timara, since we only introduce sarsur now, called the ratio of a sarsur's king. It's a little bit remote to say we're talking about Sarsa. We never mentioned his name until 4 lines into the Mishnah. Everything was in the Mishnah Zishveh. Reish Amida Blay Sarsa. The Reish is talking about that they borrowed the Kli. Even though the Gemara says they borrowed Midas Sarsa, not Dafka Midas Sarsa. They could have been a Midas Shoche, a Midas Gavra Acher. In other words, the important thing is it's not theirs, that it was somebody else's. The same is Besarsur Atzur, because we have to introduce the halacha that if this kli breaks and the sarsur is physically taking rishus, taking title, because he is a flipper and not just a broker, then that's important to say. Because says Rishbam, I might have thought that since the reason why the sarsur is involved in flipping, because he intends handing over the goods to the lekeach, maybe even now when he's still in that middle stage of taking the goods for himself, maybe I should deem that as if he's taking it for the lekeach. And therefore, if the kli breaks, he should say, lekeach, it's your responsibility because I was just representing you as like your shliach. K'mash mula, no, but since he's flipping it, he's not just acting as a broker. He's representing himself and not the moicher and not the lekeach. And therefore, if it breaks, it's his loss.
And in the Risha, if the kli breaks and the forget the value of the kli, the wine, the valuable wine spills on the floor.
The Gemara doesn't address it.
Whose loss is it? Because
I understand what you're saying.
Who had possession?
On the surface, right. It would seem that until it fills up, it's the moicher's headache loss. And the moicher's achrayis, because he's the one busy with it. Once it fills up, then it's lekeach's achrayis, because now the kli and its contents are transferred automatically to the lekeach. So it would appear. But the Gemara doesn't address that issue in terms of the price. It only addresses the issue at what point is the deal consummated that you can no longer change its mind? But what you're saying makes sense. When it said Moichem Lekech, presumably that same might apply also to Achais. Okay, the more the tzeil tazar. Hirchina u'mitzis, we spoke about this before. After you poured out the three drops, the kli is not standing flat, but it's standing at an angle, and you notice, hey, look, you see there's still another drop or two left at the bottom. That's how you should show Moichem. So now the Gemara tells us the story. He saw the Rebbe when Rebbe Loza went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ashchei leZiri, he met Ziri and Amalek. Mi kan tana disnaya Rav Midas. Is there anybody here locally who's a Talmud of Rav and learned by Rav Hilchos Midas? Not Masechtas Midas, but Hilchos Midas. So we just spoke about the Midah of the Moichem and Midah of the Lekeach here and Midas Toigos and Midas Rav. Yeah, 100%. Okay. So is there anybody over here that knows Hilchos Midas? So Achvi pointed to Rav Yitzchak ben Yair. There you see, Rav Yitzchak ben Yair, that fellow there in the back. He is one of the star Talmidim of Rav, and he learned the Hilchos Midas. Amalei, so Yitzchak ben Yair overheard the conversation. He said, "My kakashlech, what's bothering you that you're looking for a Talmud of Rav?" It's bothering this Mishnah. Erchina mitzis har yushol moicher. A drop is left; it belongs to the moicher, not to the kid. Freidim over tanan, we have a Mishnah in Masechtas Trumos. Erchina mitzis har yuzu truma. What happens if you have a person that owns a lot of tevel wine, and now over that tevel wine he has set aside 2% for truma, and that 2% of truma, right, 1 out of 40, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 60, he has to give to the kohen, and he put in a special bottle, here's my bottle of the truma wine, and it has exactly in it the 2% of truma that he needs to go and give to the kohen. So he pours it out, and he pours out the last three drops after that, and then he lets it settle. And guess what? It's now at an angle, and there's still a couple of drops left. So, what did it say in the Mishnah? If you have anything left, it belongs to the Moichet. So, presumably, it would belong to the Yisrael, who's handing over the Truma to the Kohen. Says the Mishnah, Harzu Truma. Harzu Truma means it belongs to the recipient, the Kohen. So, why in our Mishnah shouldn't be Harzu Lelekeach? After all, Lelekeach is the recipient of the gallon of wine that's being sold. So, Manishtana, what's the difference between the two cases?
That he had this keli and was full of truma, and he was giving it to the kohen.
He had to be mafreshit, be able to make kiddush, you know, yeah, come well, to light right,
and so he was mafreshit.
Right.
But now the whole thing, certainly it's truma.
The whole bottle is full of truma wine.
So any drops left in it certainly it's truma.
100%. So let me ask you. I buy from you the contents of this bottle.
Right.
I tell you I'm going to pay you for this Bear Mayim seltzer, $1 for the bottle of seltzer. And you pour and pour and pour, and you added the last three drops, and there's still a drop or two left over. Who is that drop or two belong to?
Okay, maybe wrong to the okay, to the mocher.
That's what the Mishnah
right,
says.
Right, but still truma.
This is not truma. This is just seltzer. I'm asking you, please sell it to me, and you're masking. And I gave you the dollar, you poured it out,
so
the last three drops.
So
why does that drop belong to Mocha? Belongs to me. I paid you for it. Brother Shai, be honest. Give me the whole thing.
Did you buy the bottle? You buy the bottle.
I didn't buy the bottle. By the truth, I also didn't buy the bottle.
You bought a bottle.
But there's a point. In case of truma, those drops need 100 times to be mavatal it now.
Okay.
And the case of the seller, it doesn't need any bittal. It's already bottle, as it were.
It's a bottle.
It's a bottle of wine, yeah, bottle of water.
We say that it belongs to the mocher.
Yeah.
And imply that it's not truma. It's almost saying.
Oh, even if it's a truma.
So we have parallel cases. Here he's giving truma the bottle of truma wine.
Even much as I read to truma.
He has a truma. Right. And therefore, whatever's left, the last drop of two or three, it's truma wine.
If it's a chazaka, it was truma before, it just didn't go out. In this case, there's a difference. What's the chazaka? The chazaka is, before this belonged to the mocher, it didn't leave the bottle, right. It didn't leave the bottle, it retains in the owner's the mocher.
I hear you, Svart.
Here, in the case of, it was truma, all of it was truma.
Exactly.
Not everything but the last few drops. All of it. So it retains its status of truma.
I bought every single drop of seltzer. Brother Shai, I'm paying you the dollar right now. I want every drop. I don't want you. Don't want
you didn't get it out, though. You didn't get out. You didn't take possession. You're mavatel.
Okay, that's
just. Amalei and for the Gemara, ho itmar lo amar bavo. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, "Sinishka kasha." The bavo said, "Mishem yush baalim nagu ba." meaning after you filled up, I drank up the entire seltzer, I took the extra three drops, there's still a drop or two left over. How long am I going to wait over here? I'm going to wait another 2 hours until that final drop comes out? I have better things to do. Chonish katzait. I'm mevatel, I'm miyayish, I am mafkir. It's all yours. When it comes to truma, the kohen doesn't have the right to go and be mafkir. It has hilchos kedushas truma.
It's chazaka, it's truma. It's truma, it's truma.
It's truma. I don't know, you don't have to come out chazaka. It is truma. So even if I say I'm mevatel, you can keep it. You might be able to keep it, but you can't drink from it. If you're Yisrael, you're holding on to truma. So eventually you're going to either give it to another kohen, or you're going to, if it goes bad, you're just going to pour it down the drain. But you're not going to drink from it because it's truma. Look at the top Rishba, Mishim Yush Balim. Shalekiach Messiahish Umafkir Oisai Mitzoi, and they should Terech Loi Vahamtin Ashiyat Matzah. I'm going to wait here a whole day until that final drop comes out. Keep it. Habutruma Lishayach Yish. It can't be Miyayish from Truma. Do we call Mokam Truma? He was Rul Azar. It remains Truma forever and ever. Okay, so if that was your point of those, and that was Barry's point, so you're both Mechavit Tzadik Gemara's Tetz. So Gemara Vaita. Vachem Vini. So we said in our Mishnah, a moicher, he has to be mat of those three drops, the chenveni does not. And then Rabbi Huda says, it depends. If it's Erev Shabbos, somach lechashecha, your pot. Iboilu, Rabbi Huda areshikoi ulekula. Is he going on the case of the moicher, where it says the gabi the moicher, he always has to be mat of the three tipin? Says Rabbi Huda, you're right. That's 99% of the time you got to be matzah to drink tippin. But 5 minutes before Shabbos, you're off the hook. I give you a kula. I say 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever. A short time before Chashecha, you're off the hook. So therefore he's coming to be makel. It's true that the moicher always has to be makbid, not 10 minutes before Shabbos. Oy do masefer koy, he's going in the sefer. Where it says in the sefer that the chenveni is potter melahativ, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm very, very sorry. Throughout the week, you have to be matif, you have to be erlich, you have to give those last three drops. Only 10 minutes before Shabbos, you get a break. But otherwise, you have to. So therefore, he's going on the safe, he's going lechumra. Right? That's what you were asking when we learned the Mishnah. It's Toshima. The Braisa addresses this directly. The son of Yehuda, Oyma Erev Shabbos im Chashecha, Chenveni Potur. Throughout the week, the chenveni is no better, no worse than the moicher. He has to be matif. But the last few minutes before Shabbos, then he's part of the chenveni torah. People have to run still to the mikveh to go and pick up their suit from the tailor. They have to go and take a shower. They have to go to shul. They want to be on time, etc. So therefore, you get a break. The last few minutes before Shabbos, everybody's torah.
That suits me fine.
That suits you fine. Zok the Mishnah. A person is sending his son to the chenveni to go and buy wine. And as we'll see in the Mishnah, this son was not bar mitzvah. He was only 7, 8, 9 years old. The Rishbam even refers to him as a tinnik. Okay, a young kid. So he goes and sends his son to the chenveni. In the parentheses, it says punjin biyodoy, even though the parentheses takes it out. Rishbam says it's implicit that we're talking about the game of punjoin. A punjoin is a matpeya, a coin, which can be subdivided into two isrin. In other words, think of a dollar where you can go and get two half dollars. Here too, you give a punjin and you get back, you can get two isrin because each one is worth a 50% or half of the money. Okay. So he goes to the chenveni, and the son was instructed, and now he tells the mocher that Tati sent me, and he only wants an iser of shemen, and give me back an iser of cash, of petty cash, of what's left
change.
Over. Change. Oh, that's the word. Good. So start again. Ashleich lo yitzel chenveni. He goes to the chenveni, he has the punjin in his hand, and he tells the chenveni, Tati says, we need wine or shemen for Shabbos. Or during the week, whenever. Who mother loy be iser shemen, he poured out for him in a tzloichiyas, a whole iser, that's the currency, he paid him an iser of shemen, venosolayis iser, and he gave back to him the change, the other iser. Good. And now the child is taking the shemen home, and whilst he's going, he's jumping and skipping, and you know what, like children act. And guess what happened? Shibis the Tloichis, never the Tloichis fell over and it broke. and we lost the tzloichis, and the shemen, the obedis iser, and the iser that he had in his pocket also fell out, and it was a total disaster, a total loss. The question is, who is chayef for this loss now? So Tanakam Chenveri chayef. Chenveri, you see what's a little kid? What are you going and giving him the tzloichis of shemen and the iser? Didn't you realize by the time he gets home, there's an 80% chance that the tzloichis is going to break and the shemen is going to pour out and he's going to lose the iser? Well, why did you do that here? You have no seichel. Chenveri, you're chayef. But Rabbi Yehuda pointer. Rabbi Yehuda says that he is potter. Why is he potter? Shemen asked Shlach, what do you think he sent him? He didn't send him over there to tell him the latest news of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. He sent them there for purposes of buying it like this of shemen, and that's why he gave him the punyan. So what's a chenveni supposed to do? I mean, he's just doing what the balabas wanted him to do, to give the goods to the kid to bring it back. We're going to see in the Gemara what is the svara of the Tanakam. The Chayr Abiyud is a good point.
Yeah.
If the father entrusted the child with, presumably with eight sloiches. It doesn't say clearly in the Mishnah whose sloiches is what it was. We're going to get to that in the Gemara Miatisham. But if he gave him the punjan and he gave him the message, go to the chenveni, so apparently the father felt that this child is mature enough that you should go and give him the goods.
Mm-hmm.
So Rabbi Yehuda L'Chayr is right. He's right. Hoy Tisham and Askei Shlach. What do you think he went for? He didn't go there to come tell him the weather, but to give him the news report. He went to because he wanted to get the shaman. We're going to see in the Gemara. Although there's a machloikis, says the Mishnah, however, in the case of Mishmachat Sloichis Biyara Tinoik, Umadat Chenvin Le Toicha, Chenvini Potter, as long as it's Sloichis Biyara Tinoik. It doesn't say clearly why this case is different than the Resha. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara. But on the surface, what it sounds like is that the Chenvini never took the Sloichis into his hand. Meaning, we're going to talk about this in the Gemara, but the assumption is that the Tinnik brought the Sloichis, and that in the Reisha, the Tinnik handed the Sloichis over to the Moichit, to the Chenveni. The Chenveni filled it up, and now the Chenveni gives him back the full bottle to the child. Then we have a Machloikis if the bottle subsequently breaks, Machloikis Tanakam and Reb Yehuda. However, if he never took it from the child's hand, the child says, I have the Sloichis, and okay, hold on to it, and the Chenveni poured into it, so he never took possession, not even for a second, of the tzloichis itself. He kept it in his hand the whole time. The chenveni would be potter on the tzloichis. He won't be potter on the money, but he'd be potter on the tzloichis. We'll see Mitch in the Gemara why is this different. We'll see shortly. Good, so let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Beginning of the Mishnah, we said we have machloch between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. When the child went home with the tzloichis, with the shemen, with the money, he lost it, he broke it. Tanakhama says, chemeni chai, rebut his potter. In speech language, it would be iser v'shemen. We have here really three losses. We have the loss of the bottle, we have the loss of the iser, and the shemen that was in the bottle. So we got the iser v'shemen, putting the tzloichis aside for a moment. We have to put it aside because we don't want it to break. So we'll put it aside. So we're only going to discuss the iser v'shemen temporarily. So, probably I understand this word. The Rabban Savi li oidue shadre, Rabbi Savi li shture le shadre. Meaning that the Rabban said, everybody can tell that this is a little kid of 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, he's an immature child. Nobody would trust such an immature child with giving him the contents of filling up the bottle with shemen. Come on, it's ridiculous. The chances of this shemen ever getting back to the father of this child is remote. He's going to play, and he's going to fall, and he's going to jump, and da-da. So why did he go into the chenveni in the first place? Because telephones didn't exist in those small shteytlach at that time,
sure.
And they didn't send emails, they didn't send faxes.
And no pages.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going to happen now? What's going to happen is, Tati or Mami need shemen. They don't have the time now to go to the store. So they send the yingala to the store, and the purpose of sending the yingle is because they knew that the store has these Spanish delivery men, mm-hmm. And therefore, doesn't have to be Spanish, whatever.
Migrants.
And the point, migrants, they're not going to be there long.
The family sent the money, the father sent the money when they came.
Correct. So the point is, I'm sending the money, it's as if sending him, you know, your shopping list. I send it to the chenveni, the chenveni reads it, okay, I know exactly. Kindle, you can go home, don't worry. The shemen will be there in 30 minutes, in half an hour. My delivery men are going to get off the van, I'm going to give them a whole bottle of shemen. With the change, I'm going to give them. So the Rabbanan saying the whole purpose of sending the kid is so that the chenveni now has the money in hand, and he'll send his delivery person with the goods in the next half an hour, within the next hour, and he'll give him the change. And the chenveni's negligence. What's he giving the stuff to the kid? He should have given it to the delivery man. The reason why he sent the kid is because he has enough zumtai, he has enough confidence that he'll be able to get it back and sit there for the chenveni. It's not the chenveni's problem. If you think your child is mature enough to go and take the goods, my delivery guys are busy today in Brooklyn, they don't have time to go and deliver here in Manhattan. Fine, I'll give it to the child. So that's the machlokes. Then I understand the Gabi Yisra B'Shem. Ela shibet sloichis reikti gemara aveda mita'asi. Why is there even a svara that the chenveni should have to pay for its sloichis? If the owner, the father of this child, sent a bottle with him, if he was concerned that this sloichis is going to break, it's going to break even before it gets to the chenveni, not only after it gets to the chenveni. The fact that he gave it to him, in other words, he's mafkir it. If it breaks, you know, okay, these things happen in life. Those are the breaks. And after breaks, everybody's going to say, mazel tov, yeah, it broke, yeah, shine. So, okay, so why should the chenveni be chayiv on the sloichis? I don't understand that. So Gemara comes up with two terutz. First, there's Omer Avoshia. Hachle balabayis, moichet sloichis is askinan. The Balabas, Yitaka wants to buy shemen, but he's in the business of selling bottles. And what he's doing is he's sending the bottle with the tinnik to the storekeeper, and he figures the storekeeper will say to the child, hey, it's an interesting bottle. It's a nice color, it's a nice figure. Tati is in business. Oh, yes, I remember. I saw ads in the paper that he's selling bottles. You know what? This is a convenient time to go and test the bottle. Let's see if it's a good bottle, if it's sturdy, if it stands nicely on the table. Let's try it out. When the chenveni took the bottle from the child, he did it on Manas Levakra, to inspect it, to go and check it out. Anytime you take the kli from the uman, that is the person, the bottle maker, or whatever, the kli maker, whether it happens to be the fabricator, good, whether it happens to be, but when, this is not a fabrication. This is a real life story.
Real stuff.
Yeah, real stuff, exactly. And it's not, you know, it's not bottled. This is the real McCoy. Okay, anyway. So he took the bottle from the child, and he says, I'm going to check it out. And Shmuel said, and as he is inspecting it, he picks up the cup, and oh, it looks nice, right? And guess what? The thing falls on the ground. Then it's biyoda yor chayov. Ah, so that's the reason why the chenveni is chayv according to the Tanakhama. The reason is because you know why and how. Although the tzloichis only broke after
the
it went
possession of the child on the way home,
but since he took it on manas levakra,
he came on it and he gave it over to the kids.
Exactly.
His bottle.
So now it's his bottle. He's
his
the
shaman,
one that
therefore his shaman in his bottle,
and therefore he's the one that's negligent and he's chayv.
Insurance charge, they have a sign. You break it, you pay for it.
You broke it, you own it.
Exactly.
You broke it, you bought it.
So that's
the riot. That's the
Makar. Why the money? Why is he chayav on the change he gave the kid?
The Rashi and the Rishbam and the Tosfos both talk about why is the money different. But let's put the money aside for a moment. Let's just focus on the broken bottle. So it shouldn't become bottle in our discussions. Anyway, so therefore, says Gemara, if that's the Svara of the Tanakhama, then that's why the chenveni is chay, because he took the tzloichis levakra. What is Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda says yipata. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this halacha of Shmuel. Are you telling me lema de Shmuel tanoi that the halacha of Shmuel that he says that your nenas biyari yichay, that that's a machlokes tanoi between our Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? I don't want to say that because we want to be able to say that everybody agrees to halacha of Shmuel. So therefore says, you're right. I have a noob shot. It's not that the purchaser, the father of the child, is a manufacturer, a fabricator of tzloichis, but rather the chenveni, in addition to selling shemen or wine, he sells the bottle as well. Oh, you want to have a bottle of shemen? No problem. Did you bring a bottle along? No. Oh, that's okay. No problem. For the shemen, you're going to go and pay me $1 for the contents. And for the bottle, you're going to pay me $1.25 for the bottle with the shemen, the whole thing together.
The deposit.
I don't know if he takes it back. It could be this is a permanent sale. Okay, anyway. So he's selling the sloichis as well. Okay, so then what's the machlik? What means they go lishitosam? According to Tanakama, Tanakama says, you know why you're potter? Because why is the chenveni chayiv? Because the chenveni is a fool, an idiot. He should have realized this is an immature kid. And the only reason why the father sent the money in the hands of the tinnik was not that he wanted to send it back in the hands of the tinnik. Send your delivery men, your delivery boys, and they're going to go and send back the shemu with the bottle and the money and the whole business. And therefore, it's all litamayu. The same reason for the money. Exactly. To be moidia him that go and give it to the delivery guy. So therefore, just like the delivery guy who's going to deliver the shemen, he's delivering to him the brand new bottle that's being sold and he's giving him the money. It's all one package, so to speak. And that's why the chenveni is chayv. And the Rebuta goes to Tami, the Rebuta says, no, he lishturele shadre. He sent the child that you should go and send the goods back with the child, including the nutzloichias. He gave him enough money to cover that. So that being the case, so if it got broken, it got lost, or whatever, it's the father that's chayv, not the chenveni. The father sent him as the shliach. He's a delivery boy. I'm not going to pay an extra delivery charge of 50 cents for delivering it. That's why I sent my kid. So each one goes to Tami. Let's see the sefer. That if he never took the tzloichis in hand, but he just poured over the contents into the tzloichis and then he sent the child back, then everybody, even the Tanakhama, agrees with these potter. Why? According to the Tanakhama, the whole reason why he sent the tzloichis with the wine, with the money, was all to tell him, send it back with the delivery boy, don't send it back with this child. So what difference does it make? He was holding on to the tzloichis, he put it down, the chenveni took it in his hand. If you're going with this father, and remember, we're talking about that the chenveni is selling him all the contents, if it's for the delivery boy, so then the Tzloichis is also for the delivery boy to go and sell. Why does it so to bring it home? So that being to deliver it home. So that being the case, why is there a difference between the Bitzmacha Tzloichis Biyara Tinik or the Nish? Ella Bayra Baravin, Rabchir Baravin, the Amit Tavayu, and Rishbam says they're going to say a pshat, which we're going to learn in Yad Shem tomorrow. We're not talking about a chenveni who's moiches loichisin. We're not talking about a balabayis moiches loichisin. But we're talking about a tzloichis which is miyuchedes lemida, kigoyin shenot lelomid ba, ukidarabba, to be continued in Yad Shem tomorrow. Wow. A wonderful evening, a wonderful afternoon.